Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Leaf Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about breaking into our consciousness. We know that it's possible to break into our bank account, into our mobile phones, our computers, but turns out that in the future, it'll be possible to break into a person's consciousness. We'd like to understand, what is it? How does it work? Be with us. Tal, please. Yeah, it's really interesting to think where are we headed with the development of technology, science, biochemical sciences, brain science. We hear that more and more bodies are collecting information about us, Facebook, Amazon, everyone's trading information about human beings, and maybe it doesn't really bother us when it's used to targeting us with different products, but futurists like Yuval Noah Harari say that in the near future, it'll be not only possible to know what are we searching for, but it'll also be possible to program our desires, influence our consciousness by actually being able to read what's going on inside of us by different biometric sensors. So we're moving further and further away from the freedom that man would like to have to choose, to decide. Yuval Noah Harari is talking about digital dictatorships that control information and man with the help of that information. And this is what we'd like to talk about today, the importance of information and the future that we're headed towards in light of these technological developments. So, in your opinion, is information the key to controlling people in the future? I don't see the future this way at all. I think that all these things will develop and we will see where are they headed, but the change of our history, in our history, will come before that. All in all, what are we talking about here? In the past, we said that it is possible to control people by force. Afterwards, through newspapers, for example. Afterwards, through advertisement. Now it's by technologies like breaking into a person's consciousness. But all these things are technologies that are replacing each other. There's nothing new here. But like when we're under the influence of newspapers, that in the past, I was under the influence of newspapers. I used to buy a newspaper. There were barely two or three newspapers. I used to buy one of them. I was influenced by it. And I changed my opinion all the time according to that newspaper. Wasn't it the same back then? They also entered, permeated my consciousness. What's the difference? That now they'll do it more quickly, in a more sophisticated way, and that there will be many, many different kinds of companies that will want to control me and so on. So it's the same now. This isn't the future. It already exists today. Even today, I perceive what they want me to perceive through television, radio, newspaper, networks, internet. And it's something that I can't resist. When I turn on my computer screen, then that's it. They're already there, inside of me. And it depends on the measure of their sophistication, the extent to which they're already in me, and what. Maybe the awareness of the extent to which we're being controlled will grow. Why do I have to protect myself? This futurist says that these algorithms or machines, the data, will know more about himself than he does, because they'll know how to read his biochemical responses and so on. For example, he says that he didn't know about himself that he's a homosexual until a certain age, but maybe in the future there'll be a machine that will be able to tell this to a person. and what? Meaning, at some point we'll lose control. One way or another, we're not in control of anything that we have at all. And if it seems to me that I'm in control, then that's really complete lack of control. It only shows how much they're trying to confuse me that I think that I'm in control. You previously said something really interesting. You said that not only that I'm influenced through different means, but maybe through things that already exist in me. Today, the technological development, and I think that in Sweden they started doing these experiments of implanting small chips, like sensors, inside a person that analyze the responses of your body. So, you have a person, suppose two people. There's Tal, I'll implant such a chip in her body, and suppose I don't wanna. Thanks to her having this chip, her chip with the phone that she'll have tomorrow and all the equipment and everything will allow her to act in ways that I can't, because the chip that gives that feedback doesn't exist in me. So maybe tomorrow we'll have two different kinds of people, those that are combined with technologies and those that aren't. So if you can talk about this a bit, how do you see the combination between people's abilities and that will really implant in them and start engineering in them computing abilities? So probably it's going to be some kind of a super species of human beings compared with normal people. How do you see the process? There is no process. I'm not relating to this at all. Why? Because it's not important. Just like people live their life now, from hand to mouth, from one day to the next, then here too, that's how they'll live. So some of them, those that don't sleep at night and are planning what will they write in the newspapers and on the internet for those people that will get up in the morning to read. Then also those people that control our chips, this is what they'll do. What's the difference? Either it goes through the ear, through the brain, through the chip, directly to your nervous system, to your brain. Doesn't matter. Who is man that he has what to be afraid of? I'm controlled one way or another. Do I know what's going to happen the next moment? No. Do I know how will I behave the next moment? No. I look at my life. I think that I'm in a dream. Is it me? So, what do I have to be worried about? What kind of independence am I talking about here? I'm not independent at all. I know. It's common sense. I know that if such and such states will come, they can force me, these states, these conditions, to behave whatever way they want. So, what am I all in all? I'm an animal that acts according to pleasure or pain, so they can program me to feel pleasure and pain in a different way. It doesn't matter. What, isn't it the same way now? There's some editor in some newspaper or someone in Google. There are people sitting right now that are planning what to give you. Aren't they controlling you this way without chips? In certain things, probably yes. Not in certain things. Completely. Over time, it's known how you'll behave. They know how they influenced you. That's it. So what's left of a person? Nothing. There was also nothing. Man had no free choice, and he has no free choice now. And also those that program these things, they have to think, do they have free choice in what they're doing? But that's something else already. It seems that they're the ones that are in control. No, they're not in control of anything. How can they control something? They also have the orders that they receive to their brain, and that they want to change the world and in what direction. It's not that they naturally got these desires, thoughts, inclinations. So there's another factor here, which is nature, that maybe controls also Google. And yes, this is what we have to research. All in all, we're all under it. We are small creatures on this planet, so let's at least research our small world. Who controls it? What nature? Do I choose how to be created? How will I behave? In what family will I be born? And so on. No. So let's research these things, or even more correctly put, what is the result of already receiving these things and I can't change them? But now, what do I care if someone will know? What am I thinking? What's going to happen to me? It's not interesting. And even if they'll be able to influence what you do, what will you choose? It doesn't interest you? No. They can be engaged in that. I don't want to resist that. So what's left of you? What's left of me? The ability to understand what I exist for. But in relation to nature, that is the upper, that has created me, that shaped me, and also those that want to control me. I want to know this superior idea. Why is that not under someone's control? What? That point that you described, that's aware of being controlled by nature, it can be influenced by me on condition that I want to investigate it, discover it, and influence it. It's possible. So, just to understand, if I'm 100% controlled by different factors, what do they control? My animate body. They don't exist in my attitude toward the upper nature. They have no control there. Why is it on a different level? Of course. Who are they all in all? The same people that use their different technologies in regard to my behavior, and my behavior in regard to what? Who will I vote for? What will I buy? Yeah? Who will you vote for? And, it's all fixed. I don't think about that at all. I see that all in all, the way you relate to technological development, all in all, technological development brings us to the point of truth. I respect it. Why is it rooted in nature? So that from that, we will reach a state where we'll ask, so who am I? What do I really have to pay attention to? Where can my free choice really be? What can I really determine? That I will be above all of these technologists that are trying to program me. So that's important because you're talking about it calmly. So they'll know or won't know about me, it doesn't matter. But most people, it really pressures them to know that someone will control them. Why? It's true. If I have a way to steal $1 million from the bank every day, then, yeah, I'm afraid because someone might ruin it or something. But if I don't have something like that, if I'm an ordinary citizen, more or less, then what's the problem? What is there for me to... What do I have to hide? If I'm a simple person, with all of my inclinations... So you see, today there are different kinds of inclinations, like towards homosexuality, other inclinations in a person. Doesn't even matter what. No one hides it. So, I'm a human being. People are even proud of it. Yeah, but I want to know that I'm in control of my choices, of my family's choice. What choices? What control are you talking about? To begin with, you have no choice. No free choice. You're choosing according to your ego, according to your will to receive, for things to pan out better for you. Like a little animal, that's it. In the past 200 years that you were eating the advertisements that you got from the press and from other places, did you have free choice then? True. So maybe I'm doing things that are maybe in contradiction to my integrity. So what? It was already done. You're living in it for the past 200 years. I'm only saying that if it's going to become more extreme, what gives you the tranquility to calmly look at it from the side? There's just one thing here, that previously you weren't that sophisticated to know that you're being worked on, and now you are. You'll forget about it. A person's inner point of observation. What observation does a person have? Maybe from time to time a person will be told that he has no free choice. Great. The wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us one way or another that we have no free choice besides in one thing. So what can you really offer people that understand that they're being completely controlled and still they want certain freedom? What do they need freedom for? What for? Give a person freedom. He'll go crazy. What freedom? We, according to our development, we ourselves shape, design, build such systems, such mechanisms that take our freedom away. And it's very good. Otherwise, what? Suppose a person goes into the supermarket or into some store and he doesn't know what to do. Is that freedom? True, today there's already awareness that the consumer society put us in this kind of race that enslaved us. I don't see that people are aware of this. I see that people are running after all these things. They're under this influence. How come you're looking at people from such an ideal perspective? Especially the younger generation, they have a greater and greater desire to break the conventions, to live life according to my own desires. What do you mean, my own desires? Who has desires of their own? Show me some man or woman that have a desire of their own. Where do they have their desire from? Maybe even a mom's most basic instincts, that she wants for her children to be well off, for her environment not to be polluted, and so on. From this point, people are concerned with what's going on, with the control that other people with an economical interest have over them, that they're destroying their environment and so on. They want to get the reins back into their hands. And what do they do about it? They move to the countryside. Today there are different protests against these technological processes. Nothing works. We can't stop development. It's impossible. It's all an illusion. We have to understand that there's nothing here. But if we really want to bring a person to the truth, we really have to open his eyes about the entire process that we're going through, and for him to know where is he getting the orders from, and what's really controlling him, and how to come out from under this control. And in order to come out of it, we have to learn the upper orders of nature. And it's not about people like myself that are simply called consciousness programmers or whatever it is. What kind of force will it give to a person being in this process of starting to understand how nature controls us in order to navigate his life in a good and correct way? This is something that you have to learn. You have to raise a person above nature, to the upper nature, to the level from which nature, on which nature is cooking, programming its orders. And there it's not people that sit there, but it's the mind of nature, the upper force, from where we get the orders, and we have to know, understand these orders, and to try and function correspondingly. This is really interesting. You said several things. The first thing is you said that we can't stop technological development, so there's no point in being afraid of it or anything because you can't stop it. Yeah, let's leave all these things that are related to the physical world. It's like a savage running with a club after a mammoth. It's the same, really. But still, people are destroying our planet, polluting the environment. It's all small side effects. So, let's agree. One, it's impossible to stop technological development. Two, what we can do is to open our eyes and start discovering the mechanism, the upper mechanism that controls all of nature, that, like you said, is the mind of nature that gives us orders. So, what I have to investigate, research, aren't those companies that control our information, Google, Facebook, doesn't matter who, how they manipulate me one way or another, but to rise to an even higher level in my research, researching my existence and what activates, operates me, and to research the upper mind of nature. I have to break in not to a person's consciousness, but into that upper mind. So what is the upper mind of nature? Where is it? How does it work? Who controls it? What kind of manipulations does it do on us? For this, I have to open the entire wisdom of Kabbalah for you. We'll be happy, but simply put, what does it mean that in nature there is an upper mind that gives orders to all of us? The upper force starts from the thought of creation to benefit his created beings. And then he creates the created beings in order to benefit them. And in order to benefit them, the created beings have to go through special stages of good and bad, and they have to be taught what is good and what is bad decisively. But in order to allow them to exist independently and to have free choice, for this it's necessary to take them through two systems. As it says, the Creator has created one opposite the other. And then the created beings, eventually, by going through these big shifts between these two systems, they start understanding what is truth, what is false, what's worthwhile, what's not. And they're always in these two systems, where the one natural system is called the egoistic system that exists in them from its very foundation. And the other system is the altruistic system that does not exist in man, but that man pulls it to himself for it to control him according to his desires, according to his free choice. But eventually, these two systems, they have to act in a person, and then a person will really have free choice and will really be in the upper consciousness. So a person, in his development, can develop an additional system that doesn't naturally exist in him, meaning beyond the egoistic system that you call the natural system that controls us. We can acquire another altruistic system, and then we'll be able to choose in between these two systems. Yes, this is the inner technological development that's supposed to happen inside a person and a person's consciousness. Yes, a person has to develop these abilities himself. No, not to develop, but to receive them from nature. These systems exist in nature, only that a person has to choose how to receive them, how to use them. Where are they in nature? Where are the forces that exist in nature? What forces? What, gravity? I don't know. You tell me. Where is the information of all of mankind? In Google's computers, Facebook, and before there were computers? That's called the world of consciousness. Superior consciousness? No, not even superior. Human consciousness. There is such a thing that also exists in nature. Suppose humanity is wiped out of reality. This consciousness that for thousands and thousands of years we have shaped, it remains. It exists in nature. You don't feel it, but it exists. And from this accumulating consciousness, it's information that accumulates from generation to generation. Okay, from it, can I also receive this new system that you call the altruistic system? Yeah, that too. The egoistic, the altruistic systems. One exists opposite the other, and I have to develop both, and this is how they develop. But I have to aspire to develop the altruistic system. The egoistic system develops by itself. by the clock. According to the historical process and the altruistic system, I have to make sure that it will develop and will complete the egoistic system. What technology exists in the altruistic system that doesn't exist in the egoistic one? They complete each other. You can't have the one without the other. If there is the one without the other, then as a result, we have suffering, problems. And it's expressed how a person who acquired the altruistic system, he has different thoughts, desires, aspirations. Yes. To be in a good and nice connection, mutual connection with all of the elements of creation. One of the things I read that technology will allow is that connection, because technology will really allow us to live in a virtual world where we connect with one another through holograms and to be as if together, even though that we're not. This isn't virtual. You can call it virtual, but it's incorrect because we still use the desires of our ego. Will it bring us closer to the altruistic system? No. It will, in a way that we'll see that it doesn't give us anything. And how do you see the development of the connections, the relationships? You said that the altruistic system is a system of good, nice relationships, connection between all the parts of reality. A person who already has these more advanced inner technologies and he knows how to integrate the egoistic and altruistic systems, how does he connect with the other elements in creation? All of reality is included in these two systems. But the person himself, that more advanced person that's connected to the mind of nature, how does he act? What abilities does he have that we don't have today? A person today has nothing. Really, nothing. We're like little animals, including those consciousness programmers and so on. It's also primitive. This isn't what I'm talking about. And the person of tomorrow, what is there about him that we don't have? A feeling of the upper reality that's above human nature, that we understand, that we call nature. How is he connected with the other elements around him? They're all integrated, included there. Here there's nothing to worry about. He knows to do what that we don't know how to do today. He knows how to balance everything through himself. What is the key principle? What's the essential, crucial thing that separates him from a person today? That he knows all the time how to shape, design, wholeness, and perfection. Dr. Leitman, this was really, really interesting. Thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.